Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, December the 29th, at least four newborn babies die from the cold in war-ravaged Gaza. The Cardinal Vicar of the Diocese of Rome opens the Holy Door of St. John Lateran Basilica, marking the start of the Jubilee in all dioceses. But first, Pope Francis celebrates the Feast of the Holy Family with thoughts of closeness and prayers for families worldwide who are suffering conflict and grief. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Addressing the faithful on the Feast of the Holy Family, Pope Francis turned his thoughts to the many families across the world who are mourning or who are affected by conflict. Speaking after the Angelus prayer, the Pope extended a special greeting to families present in St. Peter's Square.
Oggi rivolgo un saluto speciale alle famiglie qui presenti,
and whom he said are connected through the media.
Attraverso I mezzi di comunicazione.
My thoughts, he said, go to the many families in South Korea who are mourning today following the dramatic air accident.
Mio pensiero va alle tante famiglie in Corea del Sud.
At least 177 people died on Sunday morning as their plane crashed while landing at an airport in South Korea. I join in prayer for the survivors and for those who lost their lives.
Per I superstiti e per I morti.
And yet again, Pope Francis raised his voice, asking for closeness and prayers for families suffering due to wars.
Preghiamo anche per le famiglie che soffrono a causa delle guerre.
In war-torn Ukraine.
In la martoriata Ucraina.
In Palestine.
Palestina.
In Israel.
In Israele.
In Myanmar, in Sudan, and in North Kivu.
Nel Myanmar. Sudan, North Kivu.
Let us pray, the Pope said, for all these families affected by conflict.
Per tutte queste famiglie in guerra.
And Israeli forces, meanwhile, carrying out a weeks-long offensive in northern Gaza on Sunday, ordered any residents remaining in Beit Hanun to leave the town. The instruction has caused a new wave of displacement, although it was not immediately clear how many people were affected. Israel says its instructions to civilians to evacuate are meant to keep them out of harm's way, but Palestinian and United Nations officials say no place is safe in Gaza and that evacuations worsen humanitarian conditions of the population. Meanwhile, as freezing weather grips the Mediterranean, health authorities in Gaza have reported the deaths of at least four newborns from hypothermia. Nathan Morley reports.
The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says that in addition to Israeli attacks, children are now dying from the cold and lack of adequate shelter. Edouard Beigbeder, UNICEF's regional director for the Middle East and North Africa, said these preventable deaths reveal the desperate and worsening situation which families and children in Gaza are living. The Palestinian news agency Wafa already reported on Christmas Day about the funeral of a baby girl who died of exposure to the cold. On Friday, it also reported on the death of a nurse in Khan Yunis from hypothermia. Elsewhere, media in Israel is reporting Israeli health authorities have completed a report to be submitted to the UN on the health of Israeli prisoners who have been released by Hamas. Reports suggest prisoners have suffered numerous problems, including losing 10 to 17% of their body weight whilst in captivity due to malnutrition, on being beaten and kept in isolation. Children were also beaten and some women were subjected to sexual violence. In addition, the hostages did not have proper medical care. As a result, some elderly hostages, for example, developed thrombosis when forced to remain in places for long periods of time. Meanwhile, the Israeli army has ended a military operation at Kamal Adwan Hospital in the north of Gaza. The hospital was put out of service as a result of the raid. Reports suggest the Israeli army arrested 240 people whom it claimed were members of the Hamas group. The army also said it had arrested the director of the hospital. The World Health Organization has repeatedly called for healthcare to be protected in Gaza. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Georgia's pro-Western head of state said Sunday that she would remain the only legitimate president despite a new leader being sworn in following a controversial election. As Stefan Boss reports, she made these comments amid a turbulent inauguration of her successor, a former football star who critics view as a far-right pro-Russian politician.
Mikhail Kavalashvili, a former soccer player turned politician, was sworn in as Georgia's president in parliament despite opposition protests. The 53-year-old Kavalashvili was popular as a player for the English soccer team Manchester City in the 1990s, but that changed when he joined politics as a legislator of the ruling Georgian Dream Party, which critics say has become increasingly far-right and authoritarian. He was also the only candidate to become the country's head of state. For the first time, the president was chosen not by a national election, but in parliament by a direct ballot of a 300-member electoral college, comprised of legislators and local government delegates. Because the four main opposition groups have boycotted parliament since October's disputed legislative elections, Kavalashvili was sure to win. Election officials said Kavalashvili's Georgian Dream Party won the October elections, but its declared victory was overshadowed by fraud allegations, prompting massive protests. After taking the oath, Kavalashvili praised Georgian traditions, values, national identity, the sanctity of the family and faith. He added, "Our history clearly shows that after countless struggles to defend our homeland and traditions, peace has always been one of the main goals and values for the Georgian people." Yet ousted President Salome Zurabishvili refused to step down on Sunday, saying she was the only legitimate president. She made clear to thousands of supporters that she was not in a hurry to hand over the keys to the presidential palace, adding that she would remain with the people, whether outside or inside the palace. Zurabishvili made clear that the palace would remain empty as long as there was, in her words, no legitimate president. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Three people have died attempting to cross the English Channel in a small boat on Sunday morning. According to the French Coast Guard, the migrants ended up in the water after trying to board a boat off the coast of Saint-Gat near Calais. 45 others were given treatment on the beach, many suffering from hypothermia. More than 36,000 people have crossed the Channel in small boats so far this year, surpassing the 2023 total. The International Organization for Migration, a UN agency which tracks the number of people who die crossing the Channel, says 77 people have died attempting to make the journey this year, making 2024 the deadliest year on record for Channel crossings. And in his catechesis before appealing for prayers for families affected by wars worldwide, Pope Francis greeted the faithful in St. Peter's Square, reminding them to nurture and care for family life on this Feast of the Holy Family.
Oggi festeggiamo la Santa Famiglia di Nazareth.
Families were at the heart of his address during his reflections before the Angelus prayer on Sunday on the solemnity of the Holy Family. He invited families to spend quality time regularly together, suggesting that something as simple as sitting together at the dinner table and conversing openly and meaningfully with one another can play a crucial role in building harmony. Recalling the feast day, the Pope remembered that the day's gospel tells of when Jesus, at the age of 12, at the end of the annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem, went missing, before Mary and Joseph found him in the temple conversing. It is the experience of a family that alternates between calm moments and dramatic ones, the Pope said, adding that it appears to be the story of a family crisis of our times, of a difficult teenager and two parents who are unable to understand him.
Una crisi dei nostri giorni.
Thus, the Pope urged Christians to follow the model provided by the family of Nazareth, a family, he said, that converses, that talks. Dialogue, the Pope continued, is the most important element for a family. A family that does not communicate cannot be a happy one.
Una famiglia che non comunica non può essere una famiglia felice.
Mealtimes, the Pope continued, are a special moment for dialogue in the family. And he noted that the Blessed Mother offers us a flawless example of making the effort to really listen to her son. Although, he added, even Jesus' parents did not always understand him. When this happens, the Pope said, we also ask ourselves some questions and learn from the Holy Family the importance of mutual understanding.
Questo che oggi possiamo imparare dalla Santa Famiglia è ascolto reciproco.
And finally, the Cardinal Vicar for the Diocese of Rome, Cardinal Baldo Reina, opened the Holy Door of St. John Lateran Basilica, the Cathedral of Rome. The celebration on Sunday marked the official start of the Jubilee in all dioceses. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
On the Feast of the Holy Family, the Vicar for the Diocese of Rome, Cardinal Baldo Reina, invited everyone to pray especially for families facing difficulties and suffering. 3,000 pilgrims filled the Basilica of St. John Lateran, Rome's cathedral, including the mayor, Roberto Gualtieri, having just inaugurated the square in front of the basilica with new paving and fountains, a complete renovation. The prayer announced by Cardinal Reina in the opening of the Holy Door asked that all who pass through it be accompanied with God's grace, as a flock that gathers in the one sheepfold so that they may live fruitfully this Jubilee year. Bells rang out as the Holy Door opened to the notes of the Jubilee hymn. In his homily, Cardinal Reina remembered especially those who feel distant and unworthy, and to those who carry the weight of life's difficulties in their hearts. He recalled the sick, prisoners, those suffering with pain, loneliness, and poverty. He offered words of consolation and encouragement, saying, "Let no one feel abandoned. And in this world torn by wars, conflicts, and inequalities, let us open our own embrace to everyone."
La celebrazione odierna si iscrive nella festa della Santa Famiglia di Nazareth.
By providential coincidence, he said, today marks the Feast of the Holy Family of Nazareth, model of every domestic community and a mirror of the Trinitarian communion, inviting everyone to recognize themselves as part of God's family, called to grow in unity and mutual charity. And as we cross over the threshold of the doors of our own homes, he said, may we try to bring God into our families, into our daily relationships, into our relationship with children, into marital bonds, in the attention and care of the elderly.
Non esitiamo a varcare la porta che conduce al cuore di Dio.
Cardinal Reina underscored that the Father's open arms, as signified in the Holy Door open for us, are full of tenderness, compassion, and unshakable hope, able to restore our dignity. God is always there to welcome and bless us, he said, encouraging everyone to pass through the Holy Door with trust, to savor and contemplate God's goodness and joy, so we can become tireless sowers of hope and builders of fraternity in our world. And that is Charles.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. My thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio in the Vatican. I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.